Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to yet another episode. I think this is episode 259 or something around that neighborhood. I'm Jason Ophir. We are back for another episode of Paranormal Horizons, and here with the lovely and talented and southern Maria Wilson Duff. Hello.
Hello, hello. Do you like my southern accent, Jason?
I do. I like all accents. I wish I had one, but I sound so non-accent-y. I'm just typical voice.
Organ.
Yeah, my organ voice. Yeah. I could try to fake it. Y'all come back now, you hear? It's Jason Ophir, Paranormal Horizon. It doesn't sound right when I try and fake it.
No. It doesn't. It sounds horrible.
At least you're honest.
And you did try. I do appreciate that.
I did try. Hell yeah. So, what has been going on? It's been a pretty boring week for myself. How about yourself?
Well, it's been pretty wet here. Well, I think we're getting all the rain that you are not. We've had storms, tornadoes, high winds, hail. Flooding, it just keeps on keeping on.
Have you ever seen a tornado close up?
No, then I don't think I want to. I think that would either, I don't know what that would do. That would shake me to my core. I mean, if it was coming towards me, yeah, I think I would just like completely flip out, panic, lose my mind. But to be able to stand back at a safe distance and see one would be the most awesome thing in the world because it's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's kind of on my bucket list of things that I want to see before I die is a tornado, not necessarily up close. I remember when I was a young lad, my dad owned a couple trailer parks in Texas. And some of those, one of the things I miss about Texas, I don't have a lot of good things to say about Texas. It's cheap to live. But it's hot, and I don't like hot. I have an issues with hot, and that's why I live up in the Northwest. But the just one of the things I miss is just the magnificent storms. I mean, they're the kind of storms where you don't feel safe standing outside, and I miss that. It's just spectacular.
The storms west of where I live are completely different than the ones here because, like you said, it's open, and they're just different. Here, there's trees, hills, mountains, all kinds of things like that, lakes, rivers, hills and hollers. But when you're Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, you have nowhere to go. I mean, it's wide open and you can't hide from that.
I remember that. I don't remember exactly where he was, but it's flat and hot. And then I worked for a company, an investigation company out of Texas. So I did several trips to Texas and I was kind of amazed at just the spiders are like big, like these big orb weavers. And we don't get that up here in the Northwest that I've seen anyway. So if you're into insects,
we don't have any
Texas
here.
It's awesome.
No. Yeah. I do know that, like in New Mexico and places like that, it's where the air is so dry, you don't have to worry about fleas so much as you do in areas like over here. I don't know what the difference is, but for some reason, fleas need it to be humid.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was kind of odd.
I don't like fleas. In fact, I don't know that probably there's probably nobody on the planet that loves fleas.
No. Other than the things that eat them, that's the only thing I can think of. But, you know, it's everything. God created everything to take care of something else. Like, I know people don't like rodents, but, like, one of my girlfriends, she absolutely hates possums, doesn't want to see a picture of them or anything, which I think is funny because I've never had a problem with a possum. They don't bother anything other than they get into your trash or your pet food if you keep your keep that outside. But they eat ticks and things like that, so I'm pretty happy if I have a lot of possums hanging out.
Well, possums aren't exactly the most visually attractive animals out there. Like when you see a cute possum, well, I don't think there's such a thing as a cute possum, actually.
Not in the United States, there is not.
When I see a possum, the first thing that comes to my mind is, what disease is this thing carrying?
I said something about that to one of my coworkers at the coal company I used to work for. And I was like, they don't bother anything. And he's like, if you ever saw one crawl out of a dead carcass, you would change your mind. You would never want to be around anything like that again. Yeah.
Crazy. So I just Googled something I wanted to mention really quick, and I couldn't remember the details. So there was this did you see this close-up photograph of this asteroid, one of these close asteroids? They had a satellite out there, and they were able to photograph this asteroid from, like, a little less than half a mile away. Did you see that story?
I have seen this story.
It's fascinating, and it's such an amazing photograph, and it's not a UFO, but just to see something that's been floating around forever-ish to be photographed that close, it's fascinating. And I'm trying to pull up the
now,
details.
Now, is this the story about the one that's supposed to hit Earth or fly by Earth Friday the 13th in 10 years?
I don't think it's the same one, but it's just amazing, absolutely amazing to look at. I'm trying to pull it up here. I don't believe it was the same one. This one's called like Remu or whatever. It's about 1,600 feet wide. Or no, Bennu, sorry. I guess they are saying it is one of the doomsday ones, but I don't think it was the same one I was talking about before. So if some people are saying it has a high probability of impacting Earth in 100 years or something like that, but this is a totally different close encounter that we're going to have, I guess, in 100 years. But it's fascinating to look at the photograph. And it's called Bennu, B-E-N-N-U. And it's really neat. But that makes you wonder, you know, if it's one of these close ones that are going to at some point come close to Earth, why are we sending a satellite to take close-up pictures of it? Maybe this thing is a doomsday asteroid and it's going to end us.
Oh, just you're trying to give yourself nightmares over this stuff.
Well, I'm going to be dead in 100 years. I'm 99% sure I'll be dead in 100 years.
Well, if this one hits us in 10 years, there's still some chances that you're going to be around.
That's true. I don't know, though. With my sedentary lifestyle, my longevity is probably not going to be that great.
Yeah, you're probably not on the diet that you're supposed to be on, and you haven't gone to the doctor over your back yet, or anything for that matter, have you?
Oh, no, actually, I did. I got an MRI of my back. It's jacked. And I decided I was going to cut out bread, and that didn't last very long because burgers traditionally have bread, and I like burgers. Oh, let me. I'm just saying I have a lot of cheat days. It's probably going to be a cheat night tonight, too.
What,
I didn't
pizza?
Realize how no, I can refrain from pizza, but the whole burger thing. I mean, I love a good burger. Who doesn't love a good burger? And just I just don't want a meat patty. Yeah, it's just boring to me. You got to have the bread, brioche, a buttered brioche bun. I'll say that fast 10 times. Buttered brioche bun. Yeah, it's too good. But I'm trying. I figure, you know, if I can make baby steps. You know, just maybe not cut it out entirely. I can lose some weight, or at least that's the hope, anyway, or the expectation.
Well, if you had a burger once a week, but had a decent diet, a reward is good as long as you're doing something to get rid of it.
As long as I'm not smoking crack, right?
Yeah, that's the whole point, Jason.
That's worse.
We live once. And we don't live for very long.
No, we don't.
Eat, smoke, drink, don't smoke crack, don't smoke meth. But, you know, if you want a cigar, light that puppy up. Just, you know, everything in moderation, always.
Except drinking. I can't do that in moderation.
Well, you start, you can't stop.
I haven't drank in years, but I know I'm smart enough to know that if I'd said, oh, well, there's one day a week or 2 days a week I can drink, evening, whatever, that turns into 3, 4, and then it turns into 7, and then I'm drinking every week again. But I wasn't like a scary drunk or anything. I just like to get my buzz on. I liked my six-pack of Coors Light, you know. Those were the days.
The days, and you probably went camping and hiking and laid out and watched the stars and enjoyed life. But now you live in a dungeon and you eat pizza and burgers and bitch about your back hurt.
That's right. That's right. But on a positive note, at work, 40
yes.
hours a week, I am on my feet all day long.
That's not exercise. Doesn't count. Doesn't count. Sorry.
Killing it. You're killing
I love you, Jason. I truly love you. But, you know, it just doesn't work because I could try to say the same thing. Even though I'm not on my feet all the time, I do have access to staircase. And I do have to go up and down the stairs quite often. But it's not enough to get cardio going. It's not enough to burn calories. It's just, I'm not sweating. Beats not getting up. Sorry. No, doesn't count.
I'm sweating just rolling over in bed. Is that bad?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Just so out of breath rolling over.
You're not that big yet.
No, I'm not.
Don't want to do is to get to the size where the fire department has to come in and get you out.
Oh, Lord. Have you ever seen those documentaries on those poor individuals? I know there was one in Mexico. I think he's since deceased. But, it was like, I don't know, 1,300 pounds where they have to, like, tear the wall down. And I guess I just don't understand how somebody can get to that size.
I don't either. I don't understand it. I've seen stories where, I mean, the whole family has to take care of this one individual. I can remember seeing one that really sticks out in my mind was where the daughter had to stay home and take care of her mother because she was so big she couldn't do anything for herself. And if she didn't bring her the amount of food that she wanted to eat for breakfast, lunch, and supper each time, this woman would get mad and scream and yell and have a fit and throw things. I'm just kind of thinking, you know, she can't get out of the bed and she can't do anything to me, so she wants to scream and yell, she just can't. But that's different. I'm different than most people. I guess they try to take, they think they're taking care of them, so. But they have to help them bathe.
I mean, I love the people close in my life, but I'm drawing the line at wiping people's butts all the time. That's too much. Well, I mean, in the context of if they were like grossly morbidly obese, you know, if it was frail and sickness, it'd be different. But I don't understand the enablers when I watch these documentaries, like you're saying about giving them what they want to eat. I mean, you're basically, it's like slow burning assisted suicide. I don't get it.
It's a lot of times it's a health issue that gets this started, and then it turns into a mental issue, or it could be both at the same time. It's sad, and it's hard for them to get over this, because if they try to get what they have to go through to get surgery to make themselves smaller again, it's literally like putting somebody through hell, because they don't know any other way to live. So it's hard for them to lose the weight that they need to lose to get the surgery. And then after they have the surgery, it's a whole new eating system. I mean, you can't eat an ounce more than what they tell you to. You just, it's, and that's a mental thing. A lot of people don't realize how much they do eat and drink until they have that surgery, and then they realize that their life revolved around food. It's really sad. We are very lucky,
food.
Jason.
That's right. You know, I used to be totally thin. I'm over 6'2", and I used to be 165 pounds. I mean, a rail. And then I found the joys of beer. Then I ballooned. It's a tragic story.
Beer's great. Well, yeah. Beer can.
And then I got old.
I can attest to that. I like my beer. And I don't have to do enough exercise. So I've put on a few pounds in a few places that I didn't want to. But if I would exercise and do something about it, then I wouldn't have that problem. But oh well.
Yeah. Well, tonight we don't have a guest, so we're just having a conversation. It's like listening in on a phone call. There's really not a lot going on, and I haven't noticed a whole lot going on in the paranormal lately either. Have you seen anything, any notable news stories about anything going on?
Oh, the UFO field is blowing up with all of the documents being leaked and everything else. The new shows that are coming on are different than the old UFO shows. Like, you know how the old ones kind of show you the case and what they think it is and how they try to debunk it and things like that. Now the new shows are more like, what are we going to do about this threat? What are we going to do about the threat? What's the government, what's the military going to do about this new threat? So now they're trying to play it off, it seems like, to kind of put people on edge. Like these new stories coming out, new videos of how they're actually showing true footage of military involvement with UFOs and the things that these objects can do that are very dangerous to our military. We don't really have a lot of things saying, you know, they're shooting our pilots down or they're doing this, that, or the other. But now they're trying to play this all off as a threat, which really kind of bothers me, because those are conspiracies from way back. I mean, you're talking about like Project Bluebeam and things like that rushed to my mind about, okay, now are they going to start trying to play all this out? And here goes my doomsday theory and how Agenda 21 is going to figure into all of this and depopulation. And I just go further and further and further down the rabbit hole. So sometimes I have to quit talking about it or thinking about it, or I'll give myself nightmares.
Well, I wonder if the, if it's gearing more towards, like you said, a threat. If maybe maybe there is an actual threat that they're trying to build up to. Maybe we're one step away from a alien invasion. Actually, well, I think the aliens are already here.
Oh yeah, you know. Yeah, they're already here, and they have been for years, and they've lived among us, and we're none the wiser. I mean, we have more to worry about with our government, with Clinton administration and that body count, than we have to worry about aliens getting us. Yeah, Hillary, exactly. I don't know what their body count is up to, but I think there was like 6 or 7 people that was associated with them that was found dead all in one day last week or week before. I get the list. I have people that send me things, and I delete it. It's unbelievable. It just blows my mind that you have people in the government. I mean, it's run like a mafia. But that's kind of what they are. They're a mafia.
Well, it's amazing how people that don't really have the follow the government line, and they end up having accidents.
Yeah.
You know, there's this guy, he was producing this movie. It was called Gray State, and it was all about this government, you know, conspiracy thing, and they were making the movie. And, you know, I think it had to do all with this mass surveillance and FEMA camps and all that. And the producer and the guy that wrote the movie just ends up dying under strange circumstances. You know, I guess if you don't toe the party line, you might end up with an accident.
Yeah. You accidentally kill yourself, or, you know, some kind of crazy, something like that, or, you know, you take too much of your medication. It's crazy, and these people are warned, and that's the thing about it. That's a lot of stuff you don't hear. You just hear somebody passed away under certain circumstances. This is who they were connected to, blah, 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 blah. Okay, are they telling you that they were connected to them to make you look one way while everything's going crazy the other way? What they're not telling you is the death threats that they've gotten. And a lot of times, people usually don't care what happens to them. That's what blows my mind. But if you threaten somebody's family, they usually tend to obey you better. But, you know, a lot of people are dying to get this information out, and that's never really talked about. I mean, so the government years ago decided that if you just start calling people that are coming out with the truth, telling you what's actually happening, to start calling them conspiracy theorists and laughing at them, then other people will join in the laughter and not believe it. But then these are the same people that turn up dead because they just keep telling the truth and people start to listen to them. So it's really scary. And what really blows my mind is we're just talking about UFOs and aliens. We're just talking about interdimensional beings or portals or things like that. But people are being killed for it. And it just blows my mind why they don't want us to know.
I mean, the only reason I could think is that they're afraid of mass panic, but, right, I mean, it's got to come out eventually if there's something going on.
It could have come out if they would have let it start coming out around Roswell. That was I mean, that was everywhere. And but then they decided that they weren't going to do that. And it seems like at that point in time is when they decided that, look, we've got these alien crafts. We're going to reverse engineer these. Nobody needs to know about it. So are they doing? Did they do it to cover up the fact that they had this god-awesome technology that nobody's ever seen or used? And of course, at that time, you've also there's you know you had the World War II and Hitler and everything that he was into. And I think at that time, you know, they had a UFO. They were doing all of this reverse engineering. So it was just nothing more than a power race of who can get the first UFO up. It just blows my mind. It's a power struggle. That's all it is. And you aren't to know anything about it because if you are smarter than them, then you'll have all the power and all the money.
Well, yeah, I mean, with World War II, Operation Paperclip, you know, Russia and the United States were just doing all sorts of power plays to get all the scientists and all that, you know, to, you know, and some of the people were in the SS and responsible for the deaths of many, many, many people, and yet they got walk out of jail free card because they could serve some purpose to the United States government.
Of course.
Shady, shady, shady stuff.
It is, and we're full of it. It's just full of it. Every bit of it.
Trying to think of some of the names of some of those people. I want to say Klaus Barbie was one of them, but there were several. And then, of course, you have the guy that went to NASA. What's his name? Von Braun? No. What's his name? But anyway, there's all sorts of these Nazis that were recruited, and their pasts were forgotten to work on all these secret projects. The whole thing is shady. The whole UFO subject is shady. Lord knows what information is only available to a few people. And the whole thing with Roswell is ridiculous to begin with. They initially reported that there was a crash disk headlined in the papers, you know, essentially crash disk. And then, we're going to change our story. We're going to say it was a weather balloon with some radar refractor on it. And, you know, that's nonsense. It was initially reported correct. I have no doubt about that in my mind.
Yeah. And, of course, who knows what happened to the bodies. And then you have these stupid movies that come out that they try to tell you that this was filmed back in the this is secret footage from where they were doing the autopsies on aliens. And it's just the more information that comes out, the more disinformation that comes out. And unless you're right in the middle of it or completely privy to all of the correct information, you're left dumbfounded and you get tired of sorting through all the crap to find the real truth to it.
Do you remember in the 90s that video special that came out that was blowing up on the networks called Alien Autopsy? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So that you know that was reported to be real, and it was blowing me away too. It looked so real. You know, everybody was analyzing it and saying, "Yeah, this is real." Everything in the room was to period. So it turns out the whole thing was fake. And the guy that made that alien autopsy video said, well, it wasn't entirely fake. There was one frame of actual footage.
Yeah.
It's hard to navigate. One frame. Just think about how much in a time period is like, that's, I don't know how much of a second that is, but it's nonsense. It's hard to navigate through the nonsense that goes out there. I remember when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this looks so real. It's 99.99 to a billionth nonsense. The whole thing's probably nonsense, but one frame on Alien Autopsy is claimed to be actual footage of the autopsy.
So therefore, they can say it's based on a true story. You know, it's insane. It's hard to maneuver through all the BS. It's just ridiculous. And that's why a lot of people just throw their hands up and just say, you know, forget it. But, you know, I mean, you've got, and then you have the ones that are coming out now with all of this new information. And, like, you know, when they started talking about MUFON and Bigelow and ATIP and DIA and all of this involvement with the military and a billionaire and they're working on this and that and the other. It's just who, at that time, who was scratching whose back. And, you know, I don't, and I'm with MUFON, and I work cases all the time. I do not, in a lot of our cases that we get in, are what you call the lights in the sky. So there's not, the majority of them are cases like that. But then you get the entity cases. And then you get the physical proof. You get the abductions. You find a craft that was hovering somewhere. You know, and then like in Kentucky, what was it, 2001, I think it was, a UFO hit a train, a freaking train.
Yeah. I looked up the story on that after you said that. Yeah, it's crazy.
Was that not insane? And then, you know, and then, of course, the engineers, and they were hauled off to this whole different thing, and they didn't know what was going on. And, you know, and you know, people, it's so funny. You can see something and you can talk to somebody about it, and then you have somebody to come up to you that you've never met, never seen before, and they tell you that you are to never talk about this subject ever again. So then you get to thinking, well, what did I just see? Here, I'm sitting here thinking I just saw some kind of, you know, light in the sky. Maybe it was a fireball that hit the ground or something. I went and investigated it and saw the trees burning or whatever. But then these guys are telling me that I better keep my mouth shut or they're going to kill me. So then it makes you wonder, what did you see? And did your, was it so crazy that your mind protected you from seeing what was really there? And down the rabbit hole we go again.
So what kind of, since you're with MUFON and you do those types of investigations, what kind of physical evidence have you run across? I mean, have you run across people like with legitimate implants or you know, other types of physical evidence?
None of the cases that I have worked personally, but I have been with other investigators, spoke with other investigators. That, matter of fact, I mean, and some of them are in MUFON. They've had implants removed from their bodies. A lot of, you know, people that have experiences tend to gravitate towards the people that they think can help them. And so then if you've had a traumatic enough experience that you've made it through, you're going to help somebody. So you get into something like MUFON. But they've had implants removed. They have a team that goes out to, if a sighting has been reported that there was a landing or an entity, and there's enough evidence to, you know, submit it, or when you speak to the witness or whatever, they go out immediately, as fast as they can. They try to get there within 72 hours to find physical evidence, and they do it just like cops do or detectives do a murder scene. They collect evidence, they put it in bags, they seal it off. There's a chain of evidence it has to go to. It goes to the lab. It's, you know, it's all MUFON is trying to do and has been to do everything as scientific as they can. And
there's a lot.
Go ahead.
Has there ever been like a smoking gun where this is physical evidence where they've said, yeah, this is definitely not from Earth? Like, I'm wondering why that hasn't happened yet.
It has, but
that I've
it's
heard
MUFON.
Of.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Mainstream media is not going to tell you. You're not going to open up Facebook one day and the president, any president, past, present, future, is going to say, look, this is what we found. It is not of this earth. They're not going to tell you that ever. It's going to cause mass panic. They spent too many years telling you you're crazy. You didn't see that. You don't know what you're talking about. It's a weather balloon. In Arizona, there were pictures of orbs that people were capturing just doing these amazing things in the sky. Well, then they come over the TV and they said, oh, these weather balloons. I swear to you, they said they were weather balloons and they showed the balloons and what they looked like.
Damn, there's lots of weather balloons. Hasn't our technology gotten to a point where we don't have to use weather balloons? I mean, if they were using weather balloons back, well, I'm sure they've been doing it for probably pre-1940. You'd think that there'd be a different technology available to monitor the weather. Seems kind of funny that that's a common thing that's used. Oh, it's a weather balloon. Oh, look, there's a weather balloon. I've never seen a weather balloon.
Only thing. I haven't either, but that's about the only thing that they can get to release and to go straight up and get all of your temperature and pressure measurements. You know, they can't stick it on a rocket and shoot it up there, so they put them on these balloons, and of course the balloons just pop, and it all comes back down. But anyway, it's just really strange. It's just always something. It's like, yes, we've seen this. And people see this stuff. I mean, you can see UFOs in broad daylight. They'll be completely, I mean, just as bright in the sky as they would be if you saw them at night. And then they'll try to tell you, oh, no, that was, you know, you were seeing the sun's reflection on the belly of a plane. No, sorry. It doesn't work that way.
So it was probably a weather balloon that hit the train and destroyed the engine, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it was.
The weather balloon.
Yeah. You know, they've been better off telling them that an asteroid had hit them or a meteor or something like that, you know. You see something flying at you from the sky, sure, let's just call it a meteor. But, you know, and then I know you've heard about owls being associated with abductions and things like that. Of course, the reason that educated people think that you see an owl because your mind can't comprehend what it's actually looking at. So an owl is something you're familiar with. And that's your brain's way of protecting you to keep you from losing your sanity, apparently. But, I mean, when you see an owl that's 3-4 feet tall, personally, I have never seen an owl. I hear them all the time. Not one time have I seen an owl.
I don't think I've seen one either.
I hear them all the time, and I really get tickled whenever the coyotes get riled up and they're barking and a hooping and a hollering and the owls are talking to the coyotes or over the coyotes, or they get excited too, apparently. But I've not seen an owl, and I've lived in this area for 20 years. But I hear them all the time. So I think now that I know that's what people associate owls with, I think if I ever saw one, I don't know if I try to go up and shake its hand or, you know, what I do.
That's going to be hilarious if you see, like, a big horned owl or something like that, and you're, like, freaking out because you're getting abducted. It's really an alien.
Yeah. I don't know. If, when you see one, are you not supposed to look in their eyes? What's the protocol for that? I don't know.
I don't know, but this would send off red flags for me. If you're laying in your room and you see an owl outside your window, or if you see an owl in your house, that would be a red flag to me that you might be being seen by, probed by visitors from another dimension or world.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. You see one in your bedroom, I think that's the big one. But a lot of the reports are the people driving down the roads and they'll see one standing on the side of the road and that just watches them. It doesn't fly off.
But it's like a three or 4 foot one?
Oh, yeah.
Or just
they're
a regular
they're
owl.
Huge. No, it's not just a regular barn owl or whatever. It's like a 3 to 4 foot tall owl.
If I see a 4 foot tall owl on the side of the road, I am stopping and I'm Snapchatting that. I would not speed away. I'd be like, oh my God, I've just discovered the largest owl ever and I'm going to be famous.
Well,
but little did I know.
Please.
It was an alien.
You're being probed.
And I'm a probe. And I'd probably Snapchat that too.
Yeah, you probably would. You just wouldn't know it. You would just hand the phone to the alien and say, here, go ahead.
Take a selfie with an alien. That'd be awesome.
Lord, could you imagine the scrutiny that would go under? Jason's
yeah, no
drinking
one.
Again.
No one would believe it.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. I couldn't imagine. I mean, it's just ghosts. Or one thing, aliens are different. That would just blow me away.
Yeah, because if you have a haunted house, you know, get a priest or smudge it or whatever. But if you got an alien, there's nothing you can do. And it doesn't really matter whether you live in the city or in the country. It's not always the people driving out in the middle of nowhere that get abducted. I've heard reports of people being abducted in cities, high rises. It doesn't matter. Those little gray bastards can get you wherever they want, wherever you're at.
That's exactly right. I mean, you can't run and hide from them. You just can't. But there, you know, and then there's also the theory of aliens are actually demons. They are actually the fallen angels.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be more inclined to believe that there's some sort of interdimensional or interstellar traveler than some biblical angel thing. But I don't know. I could be wrong.
Well, you'd be more accepting to an alien than you would be to a demon. I think that's kind of the theory behind that. Because it can lie to you and it can tell you, you know, we're here. We just want to get to know you. You're a chosen one. You're special. Blah, blah, blah.
You're a star child.
Yeah, that's right.
Or what do they call it? A star seed? Have you heard of that? I read a book way back, and these people believe that they're like star childs or star seeds or whatever. I'm not an expert on it, and I think it's kind of hokey. I don't know. Because I think people in general want to feel special. They want to feel different. So I think people latch on to, like, these cults or these theories that they're, you know, descendants of the star people. So I'm kind of skeptical on that. But, again, I could be wrong.
Well, see, that's where you need to get out there and mingle and meet these people. Start, you know. Because Oregon's full up.
Do a star seed, a star child meetup. Maybe I can be one, and then I can be a star child and be connecting
right,
with
you can
my.
Tell us all the secrets.
Ooh, or I could just join Scientology and tell you all the secrets.
Oh God, no! Let's no. We don't have time to go to that. No. Besides, they kill people, too. They're like a mafia, so if you told their secrets, they'd kill you.
Yeah. We should, probably shouldn't go into that because I've been watching a lot of documentaries on it. It's not pretty.
Mm-mm. Nope.
But
that's one of the biggest cults around.
But yeah, I mean, I do think that there's definitely something going on. Our government is definitely has information that they're not sharing. And I do believe in aliens, and whether they're walking among us, I don't know. I think that's kind of a stretch. I do see videos out there where people are watching these various newscasters and they say that they're reptilians because they see their eyes like change during the broadcast. I'm sure you've seen that. And I'm like, you know, that's just some sort of digital artifact. I really don't think that these people are reptoid aliens disguised as humans. I mean, I'm sure there's technological explanations to why their eyes for a nanosecond look like lizard eyes.
Yeah. Just that's like people that take pictures of the sun or towards the sun, or the sun's at an angle coming across their phone and they snap a picture and then there's an orb in it and they're like, I've caught a UFO or I've caught a picture of a spirit or whatever. No, that's lens flare. You see it on TV all the time. If you will actually look at your camera and when you're holding your camera up, you'll see these orbs before you even take the picture. And it's lens flare. And a lot of times there's UFO reports made from pictures. We didn't see this when we took the picture, but this showed up after we did. You know, when we get to looking at the pictures, but we can't see it in the sky. Well, that's your first clue.
I don't think I've ever in my 45, almost 46 years on this planet ever taken a picture of the sun. I should do that. See what pops up.
Well, next time the sun's out and you're outside, just whip out your camera and you don't have to take a picture of the sun. You can take it towards it. Like if you're looking towards the east, the sun's coming up, or when the sun's setting in the west or whatever, you know, just towards that area. And when you get to moving your phone or camera or whatever you've got, you're going to see these little light orbs pop up in your picture. And it's just the lens flaring the lights out. And I mean, it's pretty neat. But it's not a UFO and it's not a ghost.
It's not an alien invasion?
No, sorry.
Not capturing the scout ships that are coming before the big scary ships?
Before the big mothership comes in? No. Nope.
Mothership, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, sometimes you'll take pictures, people will take pictures through their windows of their vehicle or when they're in their house, and that doesn't ever work out well either because there's always something on the windshield of your car, or there's a reflection of something, and something, if you're not going to see it at the time, but when you look at your picture, you're going to go, oh wow, I caught something. 99 times out of 100 you didn't. It's a reflection.
But maybe that one time somebody does capture something.
That's right. That's right. And that's why, you know, within MUFON, we have any pictures or any video submitted, it can be sent off to be analyzed. And, you know, then you've got a professional that's looking at it. So it's not just you guessing at it, trying to blow it off. And that's what a lot of times people think that what we do, we blow it off. We're skeptical, you know. And there's a lot of, I mean, we side with the witness a lot. But if you submit a video or photograph and it's analyzed and it comes back, no, this is what it is, this is the reason why, sorry you didn't catch anything, people get mad when you tell them that they didn't catch something, that they actually believe that they did. Nobody wants their paranormal stuff debunked.
Yeah, and I've run that into that a couple times where people are just so desperate to believe that they've captured something, and you're looking at it and you're like, you come up with a reasonable explanation and they refuse to accept it.
Right, right. And, you know, I've been on investigations before, paranormal investigations, and they're so happy that they've caught something. You know, it's like, I caught something. I've got this, and listen to it or watch this, and you're watching it, and you just go, oh, my gosh, that's awesome. You just can't bring yourself to tell them, no, that's not what that is. Sometimes it's just, I do have a heart sometimes, Jason, not often, but I do.
Well, you got to be honest. I mean, I suppose there's no harm in somebody believing something that is explainable, you know, unless it's some sort of cult thing and they end up being, you know, murdering people. But
yeah,
it is hard to break people's hearts at times, you know. There's no harm in believing something as long as it's not harming yourself or others. And if people want to believe that they have fairies and gnomes in their garden, sure, whatever. Me, on the other hand,
awesome.
I work in science, but, you know, I'm still open. But I tend to try and find more plausible explanations than just immediately go, oh my God, there's an alien. Oh, there's a spirit.
Dude, you are the type of guy that could have a UFO land, bring you aboard, fly you around, take you to Jupiter and back, and set you down and say, we'll see you next week. And you would say that never happened, that you dreamed it. You're just that type of person.
I am. I would need to have some sort of physical evidence that actually transpired. Or I think I was just had on a crazy ass trip and maybe somebody spiked my Diet Pepsi at Jack in the Box and I went on this crazy LSD trip. But yeah, I would need some, I don't know. I would be very skeptical still, yes.
See, told you.
But, and just for the record, in case the ETs are listening, I have absolutely no interest in that happening. And although I do find Jupiter fascinating, I don't think I'd want to go under those alien circumstances.
Wow.
That sounds terrifying.
Well, they're not going to probe you or anything. They're just taking you for a joyride.
Yeah, well, that's what they tell you. Hey, we're going to take you on a joyride to Jupiter. And the next thing you know, you're like 1,000 light years away, being cut up for a dinner for some giant reptoid queen.
They do that here on Earth, dude. They live in the cave. Why do you think there's as many missing people as there is?
Well, that's
especially
a whole other thing.
Especially in the National Forest. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. People disappearing all the time. No traces found. See, something like that, I would be more inclined to believe that there's some sort of government involvement. I mean, of course there are going to be cases where people disappear and they're never found. That's just life. But it wouldn't surprise me if the government was picking people up and taking them to some sort of underground facility to be the subject of some horrific genetic experiments. Maybe that's fantasy on my part, but I don't put that past the government to be opportunistic and just kind of pick off people that won't be missed.
That's right. I mean, you've heard of the cases where somebody comes up missing in the National Forest after they've been hiking. It's one person or it's two people, and they find no evidence of them, but they'll find their clothes neatly folded with their shoes on top. To me, that sounds like a serial killer. I don't think an alien would fold your clothes up for you.
No,
and definitely nobody from the military. But it's really weird, some of the circumstances where they, I mean, there's never anything found of them again. Or if they do find them, they have no shoes. Or they're completely naked and they don't remember anything. Those are the ones that I tend to think more that would be abducted. If you find them out wandering with no clothes.
I think the most famous case that I can think of, and I could be wrong, is in Russia. What was it, Datlov Pass or something like that, where these seven or eight people went up hiking and some of them went flat out missing, and then they found the body of a couple, and it was really weird. Like, it's super cold and icy in the mountains, and one of them was naked, and there's just a whole lot of weird circumstances behind it, and that's the one that's they made a movie of it. I don't remember what it was called, but that was way back, I think,
this,
in the 50s.
I can spell it. Datlov. Pass. Was where they were.
Yeah, it's a trip. People out there listening, you Google that, because that is a really, really strange story.
Yeah, and I've watched documentaries on that, and of course they're trying to call it everything. They're trying to say, oh well, they were suffering from hypothermia, and a lot of people that do that, they think they're hot, and they take off what clothes they have on, and then they kind of get delusional and they start wandering off. Well, that's all fine and good, but not all of them. And then their bodies wouldn't have been as mutilated as they were.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I've heard that before, too. You get to a delirium state, and you're really hypothermic or hypothermic, but you think you're hyperthermic, and you take off your clothes. But, yeah, they were mutilated, just weird injuries. I want to say, and I could be wrong, there was a lot of radiation around or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were trying to blame it on it. First animals, and then a different, like, military that came in that wasn't supposed to be there that did that to them. You know, it's just crazy. Just all kinds of different things. And of course, there were no pictures taken. They had cameras. There was nothing written down in these diaries. So it was just, that would be the amazing thing. I mean, if they had have found footage, we would never know about it. That would be too horrific.
It's a crazy world we live in. Well, I think we're just about out of time, and I wanted to thank everybody. We have surpassed 5,000 likes on Facebook, which is very cool. Our little mem page. And, unless you have anything else, Maria, let's close it off. I'm starving. I got to get something to eat.
You'd been gone 30 minutes ago if you hadn't scheduled the whole thing for an hour, huh?
My times are off. I have, like, I'm looking at multiple different countdown timers, and none of them are matching up. I have no idea how much time there's left because nothing's calibrated correctly.
Well, in the real world, at your house, it is now 8:58.
My PC says 8:52. Blog Talk Radio says that we have passed an hour and we are like 6 minutes past. So I don't know where we're at. I'm lost right now. Maybe I'm being abducted and in some sort of time continuum weird rift thing.
You deny it, even if you are.
Yeah. But anyways, I guess it's a good time to close unless you have anything else.
No, nope, I'm good.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to our conversation. It's always fun and informative. And thanks, Maria. And we'll see everybody next week, Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode. I don't know what's going on. Hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and we'll see you then. Good night, everyone.
Good night.